So we're in ordinary time. And this is the time in the church calendar when we hear about some of the more obscure stories of the Bible. And this story of Sarah's death and burial is so obscure that the lectionary just skips over it. It goes from chapter 22 to chapter 24 without so much as a blink of an eye. And even though I've read through the Bible several times, I didn't remember this story. And it wasn't until 3 years ago when I chose this passage for Hebrew exegesis that I really started thinking about what does it mean. And I remember talking to Erin Gill, the Hebrew tutor at the time, and saying, I don't know why I chose this topic. And she'd say, just breathe and keep going, just breathe. And so I did. And 3 years after the fact, it's starting to make sense. This story is amazing. Who lives? Who dies? Who tells your story? Well, Sarah dies. Sarah, her life story in Genesis shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there is some ugly here. Maybe sort of like parts of our lives. Elizabeth Cady Stanton describes her as an object of patriarchy, an abused wife, an afflicter of slaves, a possessive mother, a cruel matriarch, an indispensable and disposable woman. A woman put in uncomfortable, even dangerous situations by her husband. A woman caught laughing at what she deemed was a ridiculous promise. A woman who turned Hagar and Ishmael out into the desert. A woman who survived the near sacrifice of her much-loved son. A woman who lived to be 127 years old in a very unforgiving environment. She is the only matriarch in the Bible whose age at death is mentioned. This story is the only place where mourning a woman's death is mentioned. She is mourned by Abraham, a mourning that looks nothing like our mourning today. Matthew's in the New American Commentary tells us that mourning practices included loud weeping, tearing of clothes, sitting in dirt, wearing sackcloth, and shaving your head. Who lives? Who dies? Who tells the story? Well, Abraham lives. And so what did Abraham look like when he arose from beside his dead wife? Well, we don't know what he looked like, but we do know that he was a resident alien, a foreigner, a sojourner. He did not belong. So he was the odd man out to start with, and then he was mourning. This acknowledgement of Abraham as a resident alien is a very important point in the story and in the story. All those laws in Leviticus about foreigners are not without background. The stories of Abraham's life had been passed down and down and down. By the time we get to Moses, the stories of Abraham are ingrained in the lives of the Hebrews. Abraham was a foreigner, a resident alien. And as a resident alien, he had to ask permission to bury his dead or to buy land. And that's where the story gets interesting. Upon first reading, it would seem like the Hittites were being very compassionate. Verse 6, they say, "Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places." Did you hear that? Our burial places. If Abraham only uses the space, he doesn't possess the space. And legally, if he accepts the spot as a gift, Ephron's heirs can come back later and take it back. So then Sarah's grave would be owned by people who weren't Israelites. So we see the man Abraham acting with his eyes on the promise of God. He sets about buying a grave site. We see the typical description of land purchase in the ancient Middle East. First, there's a proposal, sell me a burial site. Then there's agreement. They accepted the terms. Then there's the weighing out of silver. Abraham paid 400 shekels. And then my favorite one, the declaration of the transfer and the description of the property. So Ephron's land in Machpelah near Mamre, the field with its cave and all the trees anywhere within the confines of the field, passed to Abraham. And finally, of course, there has to be witnesses in the presence of the Hittites, the people of the land. So why was this such a big deal? Sarah was Abraham's wife. He loved her. Of course, he wanted to respect and care for her, even in death. But there is so much more to this. If we were in one of those old-timey Baptist church, I'd be telling you, turn the pages of your Bible back to Genesis 17. And there we would read, I maintain my covenant between me and you and your offspring to come, as an everlasting covenant through the ages, to be God to you and to your offspring to come. I assign the land you sojourn in to you and your offspring to come, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting holding. I will be their God. And then we flip back to chapter 23, verse 2, and we read, Sarah died. Kiriath Arba, in the land of Canaan. Who lives? Who dies? Who tells your story? Well, Abraham lives. Sarah dies. And the part of the story that's been told is that you will possess the land in Canaan. For that time and that space, God establishes a covenant with Abraham and his descendants, and there is a promise to be fulfilled. So Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave of the field of Machpelah facing Mamre in the land of Canaan. Do you see it? I remember getting goosebumps the first time I saw it. Abraham bought the land, but Sarah possessed the land. This cave at Machpelah becomes the ancestral resting place. As we work our way through Genesis, we see that this very cave is the burial place, not only of Sarah, but of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. Who lives? Who dies? Who tells your story? I have a very eclectic taste in music, and much of it is due to the influence of my son, Aaron. He introduced me to Leonard Cohen. He introduced me to the Old Crow Medicine Show. He introduced me to James Blunt. And he introduced me to Hamilton. When we saw him in April, he was obsessed with this musical. He played us his favorite selections and talked about the genius of Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I had my doubts because I'm not particularly fond of rap. But it only took one song, for me to fall under the Hamilton spell. And when I heard the last song of the show, the song that's entitled, Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story, I said to myself, as any good seminary graduate would say, this has to get into a sermon somewhere. We have various people in Alexander Hamilton's life recounting parts of his story. And underlying this major theme of who tells your story is the theme of needing more time. There's not enough time. The power of this narrative and the power of the biblical narrative surrounds this theme of legacy. Who tells your story? Who tells my story? The story, your story, my story is so important. We learn about ourselves. We learn about life. We learn about God when we listen to the stories. who tells your story. This past summer, I attended a workshop for my church, and the most fun part of these things for me is getting to talk to people that I've never met before. And you know, in those workshops, they always have that turn to your neighbor time and chat for a few moments. And so we did that. And upon hearing what I did for a living, this lady starts telling me about the role a chaplain played in the life of her late mother. Her 80-year-old mother lived in a nursing facility in New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit. She was sent to the Superdome, and for 6 days, they did not know where she was. She was 80 years old, and she was lost. They finally found her in Austin, Texas, and care flighted her back to New Orleans. But she told me she was never quite the same, that the trauma of the whole experience exacted a great toll. And when we turned to leave, I asked her if she had ever written down her mother's story. She said no, she'd never thought about it. I encouraged her to write it down. I told her, even though they don't know yet that they care, her grands and her great-grands and her great-great-grands are going to want to know the details of how she survived Hurricane Katrina. That's legacy. This story of Sarah is a story of legacy. It's important to know what happened. It is important to know all the details. So what legacy are you building? Who will tell your story? When your family and my family sit around that holiday table, what are they going to be saying? Of course, there will be those funny, embarrassing stories. Everybody knows that. But what else will be said? Will they know what's important to us? Will they know what we stood for? Will they know what we were passionate about? They know what made us laugh and what made us cry. Will they tell your story as you want it told? If we don't tell them, they won't know what to pass on. So while there's still time, if you are older, start talking. Tell those stories. And if you are younger, start asking questions. Easy questions, hard questions, detailed questions, silly questions. Ask questions and listen for the answers. The legacy of Sarah is not the bad and the ugly. The legacy is that she was the first step in the fulfillment of the promise. She possessed the land.